It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We need you. We need the fans. We need the Auburn family. We need the staff. We need the players. We need everyone in this building that is involved in our program to buy into our core values to drive this train.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over. And in, I believe.
Baseball pass, front court, Brian Smith, baseline, eight-footer, in and out, no good. Oh, my goodness, they put it down by Porter. Oh, my goodness. Hello, Abbeville, Alabama, a one-handed slam.
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac. Go crazy. Touchdown.
Reach it down, he knocked it away. Ball loose on the deck. Throws it back out. Harper gets it. Harper down the floor. Harper shovels it to Brown for three. Yeah!
I tell you, you ain't going to run to get any popcorn if we keep this up.
I knew we could be competitive in men's basketball at Auburn. I didn't think that championships were necessarily in the cards. Auburn's a special place. I had a special team.
Bryce eyes the bucket, spins it up. In and out, no. Rebound, Washington saved it. But Brown is there for three in the corner. Yeah, baby!
All right.
Auburn leads.
Get back, play some defense now.
We've come a long way. And just grateful for the opportunity. Understand that if it wasn't for Auburn bringing me to be their basketball coach, I never would have the opportunity to realize, obviously, one of my goals as a college coach is to get to the Final Four.
That does it. History has been made. The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
And welcome into the show, everybody. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. It is finally A-Day on the Plains. A lot of college football talk for you tonight as we get you ready for Saturday, a game that you can hear right here on FM Talk 106.5. 1 o'clock is the airtime for the pregame on Saturday. We're going to talk a lot of football tonight, a lot of college basketball, the transfer portal for the Auburn Tigers in basketball. We'll get you ready for the spring game with Coach Chuck Anderson. Kevin Fechner joins us in a little bit. We're also going to talk to Casey Weidenfeld, who is one of Auburn's golfers on the women's golf team. She is qualifying for the weekend at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. So we'll talk to Casey in just a second. First of all, we'll get you a little bit of Coach Hugh Freeze from this week as he tells us what is most important about Saturday in the A-Day game in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Hopefully we can get through this week healthy. We've been beat up considerably at the receiver position. That's caused us a little slowdown in some of the things we're trying to do. But other than that, we're pretty healthy. So been pleased with the energy and passion and love the things I see from our staff and a lot of our players. I think the leadership of the team has been good in holding us accountable to the standards that we set back in January. And I think that's been probably what I'm most pleased with the progress with, and excited about finishing up this week and continuing to recruit.
All right, Coach Hugh Freeze there. We'll talk some more spring football with Coach Chuck Anderson in just a little bit. And also from Auburn, Kevin Fechner joins us to talk college football and basketball this evening in the second half of the show. We want to talk now a little bit quickly about the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Three players from the Auburn women's golf team involved in the first couple of rounds there. Anna Davis, the 2022 champion, was 70-78. She finished tied for 36th. The top 30 make Saturday's field. So Anna missed out by one shot there. Disappointing second round for her. And also Megan Schofield, the U.S. amateur champion from last year, with a tough day. It was very windy over in Augusta at the Champions Retreat where they play the first couple of rounds. Megan was 73-79, a birdie on 18 to finish out on a positive note. But the story today and the first couple of rounds for Auburn was Casey Weidenfeld, who fired 72-72, even par. She's currently tied for 13th. She's in for the weekend, a few shots back. And I had the chance to talk to Casey after she finished her second round today in Augusta. And here's what she had to say. Congratulations, your first appearance in the Augusta National Women's Amateur. And it looks like you're in for the weekend. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit about your round today. As you were just mentioning off the air, it was very windy out there at the Champions Retreat, and maybe it was a good thing you got out early today.
Yeah, so conditions have been really windy today. It's brutal out there, to be honest. Today, good ball picking, and my putting was pretty good too. Didn't make as many birdie putts as I would have liked. I had some good looks that didn't drop, but the wind was swirling even over the putts. So there were a lot of times I backed off. I'm like, I wasn't comfortable, and a lot of longer shots in. So I don't know. I mean, it was dead out there. I was really happy with it.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. Well, I guess the obvious question is a practice round on Friday at Augusta National and Saturday, the final round of the amateur. What are you thinking about that? Have you played Augusta National before?
No, it's my first time out there. Considering it's my first time even here at Anwaugh, I'm just going to enjoy it now. I mean, the hard part's over. I've made the cut, and I'm just going to see where it goes from here and take it all in.
Well, what is that like? How much have you watched Augusta National growing up, the Masters, and how have you ever thought about, you know, even playing there or being in a competition there?
Yeah, so I always watch the Masters every year, grew up with it. I just really enjoyed it. And when Anwaugh got announced, that was my goal. I wanted to play in Anwaugh, and I watched every year of that. And when I got that invitation this year, I was pumped. So to get that experience and make the cut and be where I've dreamed of for the last few years, I'm just really happy.
How about your game right now? You told us a little bit about your round, but 72-72, even par. Of course, that was at the Champions Retreat, not at Augusta National. But coming into this tournament and now, where do you think your game is and what will be your strengths over the weekend?
Yeah, so my game has been, it's kind of plateaued a little bit the last few weeks. I played really well at the Darius Rucker, but then struggled a little bit at the Valspar Invitational and also the Liz Murphy. It's been more putting has been a bit of a struggle. So ball striking has been really good, very straight off the straight irons. So the last 2 days I've been really focusing on putting and making sure I'm rolling it where I want to. And I felt like that helped a lot today, especially when it was so windy. And my speed putting, my lag putting was very good. So that I think really helped me shoot those two even par rounds.
Again, congratulations on your first couple of rounds. Good luck this weekend. And we'll be watching. War Eagle.
Yeah, thank you so much. War Eagle.
All right, Casey Weidenfeld of the Auburn Golf Team. She'll be involved in the practice round tomorrow at Augusta National, and then the third and final round on Saturday. You can catch that broadcast on NBC starting at 11 o'clock Central Time, I believe. Double-check me there, but hopefully Casey can make a move over the weekend. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk some college football. Coach Chuck Anderson joins us to talk about his experience at practice, what he sees heading into A-Day, and much more. Kevin Fichtner coming later in the show. We'll be back on Tiger Talk Overtime right after this short break.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Time to talk some A-Day and some Auburn football. And joining us to do that, Coach Chuck Anderson on the line. And, Coach, always good to have you with us. I know everybody is looking forward to Saturday. I'm not sure a lot is going to happen on Saturday, but it's been fun watching practice, keeping up with it on the practices leading up to A-Day.
Yeah, they, you know, it's going to be a different looking team. I mean, I think the group that goes out and plays on Saturday, regardless of how they scheme it, whether it's ones against ones or ones against twos, I think people are going to see some better looking specimen. I think it's clear that they've upgraded their roster. It's clear that they've gotten bigger, and it's quite visible to the naked eye.
Yeah, I know we talked about that a couple of weeks ago and some of the things that you saw at practice. You've been to practice and heard some things about what's going on up at Auburn. And just listening to, I think it was Peyton Thorne I was listening to this week. He seems so much more comfortable with Derek Nix and the offensive staff than he was last year with the people that Auburn had. He made the comment, Chuck, that Auburn has so much more detail now than it had last year. And that obviously was something that was comforting to him, that everybody was on the same page.
Well, and plus he's having a spring to go through to pay attention to detail. When he started last year, you've got 4 weeks and you're playing a football game. So you don't have but, you know, maybe 10 practices to pay attention to detail to get the finer points. At the stage he was at last year when he, you know, came in after spring, he was having to prepare for a football game. They didn't have a whole lot of time to spend with him with attention to detail. You can say what you want to about the off-season program. Everybody looks good against air. It's when you get in there and pads are popping and things are going off around you that you know, you find out whether you're capable or not. And that's what spring training is for. And so I think he's extremely comfortable now because he's been in the program for a year. He's been out there with those receivers for a whole spring. He's got a better offensive line around him. So it's quite obvious from my naked eye that Peyton Thorne is head and shoulders at this stage of the game, the most comfortable quarterback this practicing.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you about that. Coming out of spring practice, I'm not sure where Coach Freeze and the staff wanted to be, but with Peyton having that separation, maybe at quarterback, we'll start with quarterback because that's what everybody wants to talk about. But does that make you feel good? Do you worry about a guy like, you know, where is Hank Brown? He's been with Coach Freeze. He had a good bowl game. People had high expectations. Does it bother you that that Peyton has that separation, or do you feel more comfortable with him out in front?
He's played the most. He has the most experience. I certainly feel more comfortable with him right now than the other ones. They all four of the quarterbacks look really good against air. I mean, they can all spin the football. Gerner probably spins the football as well as anybody. The freshman coming in, White, he can spin the football. Hank Brown can throw the football. There's no question. Thorne probably does not have as strong an arm as the other three. But when you start rushing the quarterback and when you start having to make quick decisions and when you're trying to read defensive backs and linebackers and routes and that sort of thing, Peyton Thorne's got the most experience. So it was clear to me, not knowing any more about it than I know, that he just looked the most comfortable when they were playing live or when they were playing a rush the quarterback. The other ones kind of, you know, the process, the mind, the process of the mind is not nearly as quick with the three younger ones as it is with Peyton Thorne. And Freeze needs somebody that's going to make that decision right now.
Yeah.
And I think he's comfortable with Thorne making that decision. And Thorne appears to me to be much more comfortable with the group of receivers that are out there right now.
Yeah. And he said in his press conference this week that he wants to go no further than the first week of fall practice before he makes that decision. When you look at the quarterbacks, Peyton Thorne and Walker White, what do you see talent-wise there? Do you see a difference?
Oh yeah, Walker White is so much bigger than Peyton Thorne. I mean, you look at him, you look at White, and you go, good grief. That kid plays quarterback.
Yeah.
And I mean, he looks the part. I mean, he's your prolific pro style quarterback that can run too. So, you know, on the hoof, White looks the part. He's just got to gain some experience and collect the speed of the game, is, I guess, the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
When he was throwing one-on-ones, he looks as good as anybody out there. When he was throwing seven-on-seven, he looks as good as anybody out there. When you line 11 up against 11 and you got to make a quick decision and that kid's coming off the edge and you got 3 seconds or you got 2.5 seconds or you know, you don't have that much time to make a decision right now, it slows the game down for him. And he has a little more difficult. Now, did he make some great throws? Absolutely. I mean, there's things that just wow you, but is it consistent enough? That's what Coach Freeze is got to make the decision about.
And I know we talked a couple of weeks ago also, and everybody's talking about the receivers as well. And I know people are excited about Saturday. If nothing else, they get to see Cam Coleman play finally, with all the comments that people have made about him. Maybe some people are saying the best receiver that Auburn has ever had. At wide receiver. What do you think? Can he live up to all these expectations that people are throwing at him? Is that going to be tough?
When you walk out on the practice field, you know exactly who he is and you know exactly where he's lined up. There's a lot of oohs and ahs and that sort of thing. He caught a slant in the practice I was watching, and his speed is tremendous. He's going to be able to be a game changer for Auburn. Is it going to be early in the season next year? I'm not sure. I think it can be. I don't think there's a question. I think they'll scheme specific things for him so that they can get him the ball one-on-one. They'll put him in situations where they can get him the ball quickly. And he can catch the football. That's the thing that I noticed about our receivers this year as compared to last year when I went to spring practice, is our ability to catch the football consistently. There were very, very, very few drop passes in the practice that I saw. Auburn's got a solid group of receivers right now. I don't know how deep they go right now, but we'll find out. I'm excited about what Cam Brown was doing. I noticed early on in practice, Cam Brown was up front. He was the leader. He was the first one in every drill. He tweaked a hamstring a little bit, I think, and they kind of backed him off, but he looked to me like he was going to accept the challenge of Cam Coleman coming in and say, and you put those two guys on opposite sides of the field and you put the big tight end in the middle and you put, you know, some of those speedsters in the other slot. Auburn's got some receivers that are Hugh Freeze type receivers, 6'3", big bodies, big catch radius. And they do the things. Thorne can throw the ball towards those guys and we've got a chance to catch it.
Yeah, and Cam seems like the type of guy, like you were saying, he can catch a short ball, he can shed the tackler and make 10 or 15 yards after contact. And his ability, or the new receiver's ability, I think, as I was mentioning before, to read the defense, not only the quarterback reading the defense, but the receivers lining up and reading Correct. The defense helps Peyton so much more.
Oh, no question. If Peyton's making a read, then those receivers have to be making the same read. Because you saw a lot of balls thrown last year that just went to empty areas. It was like, who ran the wrong route? Did the quarterback throw the wrong route or did the receiver run the wrong route?
Yeah.
I mean, it was not even close. And so that was very confusing to a lot of people. I guess we'll find out this year who's right and who's wrong. Who runs the right route or whether Thorne's throwing to the wrong area. But you know, I did not see a lot of miscommunication in the practice, the short part of practice I was able to watch.
Yeah. Defensively, I'm hearing a lot of talk about the cornerbacks and the safeties that, yes, we're young in those positions, but guys like Hood, guys like Hart, hopefully a guy like Kite at cornerback. And also, I'm hearing a lot about the safety transfer from Texas. That he is not only talented at safety, but also has been a leader in practice.
Great communicator. J.C. Hart's the one that really stood out for me. I I could not believe that how big he was and how fast he was. If he can get down the detail, attention to detail at the corner position, he's going to be a stallion. I mean, they've got some talented defensive backs. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Are they ready right now to play in the SEC? We're going to find out. I tell you what, they got two really good coaches working with them. So our secondary's got two outstanding coaches, and the talent is there. If we got a little bit of patience, and luckily for us, we play a lead-in schedule, so they'll have a little chance to get out there and get their feet under the fire early on, and then we'll find out what we're made of by about the time we get to what is it, Arkansas and Oklahoma, and some of those games that come around the fourth, fifth game of the season, Georgia, and that sort of thing. But J.C. Hart just looked the part. I mean, he looked like he can run. He's tall. Got great speed. It's just I was extremely impressed with him.
So you're thinking he might be a lockdown guy, and we may have two lockdown guys. I'm not sure, but
yeah, I'm not sure he'll start this year, but at least he can come in and provide solid relief time. I mean, I think Auburn's got three or four really, really good corners right now.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be surprised to see Scott back inside. I just think he's probably going to be better there. And you're right about those safeties. The kid from Texas, he's a great communicator, and he had everybody organized. He understands the game, appears to understand the game, and verbal, appeared to be a leader. He and Scott and Asante, there's no question who the leaders on the defensive side of the football are. Yeah. So Durkin's going to turn them loose. I mean, they're going to do some things different. We're going to get after the quarterback, and you know, I think we got the talent to play. You know, whether we got the experience to go with that talent, we'll find out quickly.
I was going to ask you about the defense and the defensive staff. How much progress you think we've made there? How much better have we gotten as far as the defensive staff and DJ Durkin and Coach Kelly and all the guys, Crime Dog that you mentioned? Do you expect a lot more aggressive defense in 24 than we saw last year?
That's DJ's Durkin's MO. I mean, he's going to attack. He's going to be a lot more aggressive. I think that's probably what it'll be. A lot of enthusiasm on the defensive side. The defensive line coach is just gets after it. I mean, he's wide open the whole time. He is practicing himself with a lot of enthusiasm. Either he's extremely glad to be here, or he's a very upbeat guy. So I've not met him yet. We spoke to each other, but I hadn't had a chance to talk to him. So I don't know if his enthusiasm is that way all the time in life. But when he steps on the practice field between those white lines, he is wide open. And that's, you know, he's not a screamer and a holler. He's an encourager. And we'll find out. And we got some good-looking young kids on the defensive front. I mean, we looked the part with our freshmen. The difference between the freshmen we have this year and the freshmen we had last recruiting class is night and day. It is night and day. Just the physical appearance of those kids.
That seemed to be the one shot, maybe it was late in the process, that Coach Freeze took was Vontrell King at the defensive line coach. And the thing that I sense about him is, you know, he may be new, he may be fresh, but the kids were pulling for him, and that's the guy they wanted to see fill that spot. So that probably means a lot in spring practice and heading into fall practice.
We're gonna find out, because it appeared to be like, just like you said, they certainly act like they want to play for him.
Yeah.
Now, when you get hit in the mouth two or three times, I'm not sure whether wanting to play for that guy or wanting to be over there standing next to him on the sidelines is the most important thing. But there's no question that the players enjoy his coaching. Is that good or bad? It's different from a lot of old school coaches, and people say, well, you shouldn't be scared of your coach. Well, times have changed. I mean, whether I like it or not, you know, I played for my dad, and early on, and I was scared to death of playing for my dad on the football field. Wasn't very scared of him off the football field, but I knew who was in charge. Now, you know, kids, I don't know if they perform as well out of fear. You know, that's the big thing now. This motivation and them motivating themselves, and coaches motivating them to be the best they can be. So there's a lot of enthusiasm going on with that defensive line. There's a lot of enthusiasm going on with the linebackers and edges. There's a lot of enthusiasm going on in the secondary. Those guys are high energy now. And had a long talk with Charles Kelly, and he's just really glad to be back at Auburn. And he's excited about the group he's working with. And he said, "We got some players. We got some players." He was not backing off. And, you know, we'll see if it can all come together. I think team chemistry is going to be huge. Kind of like the Auburn basketball team and the chemistry they had on the basketball court. Now, we can say what we want to about the Yale game, but the rest of the season, you know, Auburn played extremely well. I mean, that was probably the one game that they did play well, even against Kentucky. Kentucky played lights out. Kentucky's talented. And when they decide to play, they're going to play. But Auburn played together the entire year. I think that, you know, if the football team can emulate the basketball team with that sense of togetherness, we've got a legitimate shot to win a lot of games this coming year.
Yeah. I thought of the basketball team when you mentioned it's a different time now with the kids. Maybe you don't coach with fear. Maybe, you know, they call Coach Pearl, they call him BP, you know, and they seem to have a great relationship and great team chemistry, like you said. So it is a different time now.
Well, we're a little bit behind the times in, let's see, 1993 or four. I had a kid at Robertsdale named Jeff Wilson. As a sophomore, he made 35 on the ACT. He was 6'7", about 285 coming out of high school. His choices were anywhere in the country, and he went to Stanford. And he came back from his official visit at Stanford, and I said, "How was it, Jeff?" He said, "It was great. Bill and I really got along." And I said, Who are you talking about, Bill?" He said, "Bill Walsh." I said, "You talking about Coach Walsh?" He said, no, sir, we have to call him Bill. He doesn't let us call him Coach." I said, "Well, I promise you, you're going to call me Coach Anderson. You're not going to call me Chuck." And so we're a little bit behind the times in the South. Not sure whether that's good or bad. You know, I'm not making a comment on that. It's just different. So kids are, you know, they still call Coach Freeze Coach Freeze. You know, they call Coach Crime, you know, Coach Crime. But different coaches like it different ways, and we'll see how it works. As you know, respect's respect. It doesn't matter whether I agree with it or you agree with it. It's how they perform on the field.
All right, the thoughts of Coach Chuck Anderson talking a little spring football, and we will continue to do that through the show tonight. Coming up next, Kevin Fichtner joins us from Auburn. We'll talk a little more football. We'll talk some more basketball. And what does the transfer portal hold for Coach Bruce Pearl and the Tigers this year? Who are they losing? Who might they bring in to fill the spots that they need to fill? We'll also talk some more women's golf and Masters in a little bit as well. Stay with us here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us on a Thursday night, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Okay, welcome back to the show, everyone. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Glad you're with us. And it's time to talk a little college basketball after the season has concluded and the Final Four is getting ready to happen. We won't talk about that a whole lot, but Kevin Fichtner is with us to talk a little hoops and A-Day and whatever else we get into. Kevin, great to see you this evening.
Great to be here, Doug. Thanks for having me, as always.
It is A-Day on the plane Saturday, as we've been talking a little bit tonight. Tell me a little bit of your expectations for Saturday. People are saying that Peyton is out in front now at quarterback. And I don't know. Hugh Freeze says that his hope Saturday is that we don't get anybody hurt. So I don't know how exciting that's going to be, but what do you think?
Yeah, usually these A-Days are very vanilla. It's great for the fans because they get to get out. They get to get there early, a little taste of football. But generally, you don't see a lot. You see a lot of vanilla plays, generic. You might get a pass here or there, but they've been doing all the hard work behind the scenes when no one's watching, and they're going to showcase it on Saturday for the fans. And yeah, they might try to throw in a couple highlights, but I think Hugh and the staff kind of might have an idea of where things are at and who needs to be where heading into this A-Day game.
Yeah, he talked a little bit, Coach Freeze did, about playing another school for A-Day, but he said he hadn't made a lot of progress on that yet. I guess that's hard to do, again, where you don't get anybody hurt. If you play another school, you're going to have to do, you know, run a few plays out there, right?
Yeah, he's been talking about that since his days at Ole Miss. We could play UAB or Bama could play UAB. We could play Troy. You know, Jack State could play somebody on an A-Day. But at the end of the day, do you want to risk injury, you know, playing someone? Because I would imagine on a game when you're playing against another team, you're going to play a little harder than I think you would just in an average A-Day game against your own guys who you've been practicing with, you know, the last few weeks.
Yeah. And we were talking about this a little bit off the air, but it's been a frustrating time for Auburn fans. How much do you feel on the plains? How ready are Auburn people to be successful this fall in year two under Hugh Freeze instead of finishing fourth or fifth or whatever in the SEC? I got to think Auburn fans are ready and expecting to be in that 12-team playoff.
Yes, we are beyond ready. We see our counterparts across the SEC. Now we're adding Texas and Oklahoma, who are very good at football. You know, Auburn fans are ready. We're tired of living off 2013, 2010 miracles. We want to be able to do well in the, you know, 2024, 2025 and going forward. You know, I think Hugh's done a good job bringing some people in, recruiting. He started that process. But the fans, you know, we're always going to support our Auburn Tigers. But it would be nice not to go to Birmingham or to, you know, Music City Bowl. Let's go to a Cotton Bowl this year, maybe, Hugh. Come on, man.
Well, we want to get in that top 12, right? So
exactly. That would be great to get in that college football playoff.
Yeah. And they're talking about the quarterback from the West Coast coming to visit Auburn, I think, again this weekend. But what do you think about Peyton? It looks like we're going to get out of spring with him being way out in front. And Coach Freeze said in his press conference this week, I think, that it might be the first week of fall practice before he really – makes that decision. Is that good for Auburn football, you think?
I don't think so. You know, if in my mind, if Peyton is the lead runner right now heading into A-Day, that means either the guys behind him don't know the system well enough, aren't good enough yet. You know, Peyton's a good player, but there was a lot of ups and downs last year. Now, Peyton has had a year under Hugh's system, so he probably knows a little bit more. And the receiver group is a little bit better, and we still have a couple guys that will come in during the summer that will hopefully make it even that much better. But, you know, we'll see what happens. The portal, I believe, opens back up after spring ball, and maybe we grab somebody, maybe we don't. But if we don't, it looks like Peyton's going to be our guy. But you don't want to go into the first week of August knowing if Peyton still may be passed by one of the other guys. We should know this, you know, at least before SEC media days in July.
Yeah, and it's kind of strange to me that a guy like Hank Brown, who we saw have a pretty good bowl game, he's been with Hugh Freeze, he knows the system, but nobody's really talking about him this spring. Isn't that kind of strange?
Yeah, Music City Bowl, he came in, he was a third quarterback in, I believe, and he chunked a few balls and showed some potential. But once again, I guess Peyton is doing well enough in practice when the coaches are watching that he's still their guy. He's still the number one guy.
Yeah, and I get the impression.
Are pushing him enough, I guess.
Yeah, I get the impression that the coaching staff and the changes there are making a big difference as well to Peyton and probably to some of the others. But let's talk some college basketball. A little bit of news for Auburn basketball this week. The second guy enters the transfer portal in Trey Donaldson. After KD Johnson the week before, I think. So, and Chad Baker Mazzara announces that he's coming back. I'm not sure why he announces that he's coming back because nobody thought he was leaving, I don't think. But he did it in Spanish anyway, so it was interesting.
Si.
Si, senor. So what do you make of Trey Donaldson leaving? It seemed like he was a favorite of the Auburn people, a favorite of Charles Barkley, I know. So what kind of writing does Trey see on the wall there?
It has to be he's talked to other people and they've maybe said, hey, we can give you more money. And maybe better yet, we can give you more playing time. We can give you 20 minutes a game, 22 minutes a game. You can be our lead point guard here. Trey, we're going to miss him. And he was a very good player. During stretches this year, he had to start because Aiden was not doing well. So he was our starting point guard for stretches during this year. And I'll never forget against Florida in the SEC championship game where that little two-minute sequence where he hit a three, got a steal, fed it to Denver for the dunk was pretty much the end run to make Auburn, you know, help Auburn win that SEC championship game. But he will be missed for sure. But this day and age with the NIL, the transfer portal, you just never know who's going to come, who's going to go. We'll miss him. Go do your thing, Trey, and KD as well. But, you know, glad to have Chad Baker back. And like you said, I think we all knew he was coming back, but it's good to know for sure that he's coming back now. And the big question is now, what about Jani? What about Dylan? You know, if we get those guys to come back somehow, some way, maybe Bruce won't have to do as much recruiting for a big man.
Yeah, and that's an interesting situation, I think, because, I mean, what I'm hearing is if Jani comes back, Dylan may be in the portal. If Jani goes to the next level, Dylan may stay. So tell me what you're hearing or what you're thinking about those two. And my big question, Kevin, visiting with Kevin Fichtner in Auburn about Auburn basketball, my big question is, what would be the reasoning for Jani Broom to stay at Auburn? He won an SEC championship. The chances of Auburn, you know, Jani Broom coming back and Auburn winning a national championship, I'm not trying to be negative, but that would seem kind of remote. So what would be the reasoning for Jani coming back? Would it just be NIL money, or what do you think?
I agree with you. Yeah. After the 2 years he's had here at Auburn, and this year especially, he's developed a little bit more of a three-point game, which is what the NBA big guys need to be able to do this day and age. I don't think, you know, even if he doesn't get drafted in the NBA, if it's Europe or a G League, I think he would get more experience, probably more money than any NIL deal here. Now, obviously, we'd love for him to come back, but I don't see a reason why he should, with the stats and everything he's done the last 2 years to show that he's ready for the next level and capable to play at the next level, whether it be NBA, Europe, G League.
I would think he would have to make more money in Europe than he could at Auburn. But yes. I don't follow that close enough to know the exact details, but you would think he would make more money in Europe. And the other guy, Kevin, is a guy we talked a lot about this year, and that is Aiden Holloway. You would think that with Trey leaving that maybe he would stay, but a five-star guy last year that Bruce hyped at the beginning of the season didn't turn out. And is he going to come back and be our point guard? Or are we going to have another five-star, four-star guy come in fresh and Bruce is going to hype him again? And what's going to happen next season?
You know, personally, I would love to see Aiden come back. He played really good November, December, and then the struggles came. You know, freshman year, adapting to campus, adapting to college basketball where he's not the best player on the court maybe. You know, maybe a spring and a summer and an early fall with Bruce, with the team, will help get that confidence back. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he can live up to that five-star hype in the fall. You know, I hope he does not transfer. Hopefully Bruce and the guys are talking to him and saying, we'll work with you. We can do this. But, you know, I would like to see him stay. I hope he doesn't leave.
Yeah. It just concerns me a little bit, I guess, with his lack of production last season. And we kind of went through, you know, we had Sharif. It was a little bit different. He had some success early and then kind of tailed off. But I don't know. You just kind of wonder about who will take the reins of this Auburn basketball team. If Aiden is there or isn't there, will he be the guy? Will the next guy be the guy? Will Jani Broom, who was kind of, I think, the leader of this team, will he still be around? So, again, the transfer portal is a mess, and you never know. I can't imagine being a coach in this day and time and knowing not knowing, is this guy going to stay or is this guy not going to stay? Or that must be just unbelievably pressure packed, I would think.
That is right. One thing I always say, and my friends always, they want to talk recruiting in football or basketball, baseball, whatever it might be. They're always saying, oh, this guy's a 5-star. This guy's a 4-star. I don't really care. You know, get this guy on the field, on the court, on the baseball diamond, and then let's see what he can do. How many guys over the years have we seen that come in with no stars or 1-star, 2 stars because they had to work so hard in high school, they ended up doing great in college. It's rare this day and age, I think, when the 5-star and the 4-star come right in and dominate because so many players are good. They're used to being the best player, and they come into the SEC or other conferences, and now they're just an ordinary player or an average player. And sometimes that hits them the wrong way. But these guys that had to grind in high school, had to earn that scholarship, 1-stars, 2-stars, they've already had to work into the work ethic, and they come in and they fit in a lot easier than someone who hasn't maybe had to work as hard because he's always been the best player on the field, court, or diamond.
Yeah, and that seems to be the direction Bruce went last year, where the guys we recruited a little more experience, maybe not quite as talented, but then again, at the end of the Yale game, I'm not sure that paid off. So, San Diego State beats Yale by, I don't know, 20-something, and then UConn beats San Diego State by 20-something. So how far off are we? I don't think we're that far off, but it just wasn't a pretty ending for Auburn basketball, was it?
No, it was not. You know, we're spoiled the last few years with Bruce because we've been doing so well in the SEC, so well at home in the SEC. Momentum was crazy for us. You know, we won the SEC tournament. Look at NC State. They won the SEC tournament, ACC tournament, hadn't lost since. For whatever reason, I'm not going to say the Chad Baker-Mazzara elbow ejection was the reason why we lost that game. You know, I don't know what happened, but once again, you talked about this in football a few minutes ago. It's time for us to get past that first weekend, go into the second weekend continually on an annual basis, make that Sweet 16, and then every once in a while push for Elite Eight, Final Four. But, you know, Auburn, we're ready. Our fans are ready. We're already behind them. We want to get behind them more. We want to travel to these sites. We want to go to these big bowl games. We want to go to the College World Series in baseball more often, you know. Yeah. I know we're in the SEC and we have high expectations, but once again, we see the teams around us doing well. Especially Bama. Bama had never made a Final Four. Look at their run. They're in the Final Four now, one game away from the title game, you know? So it's a lot of going on around us. And you know, yes, we've won 6 straight SEC championships in Equestrian, but come on, guys. Let's do it in other sports as well. Auburn fans are ready.
Yeah. Quit horsing around, right?
Exactly. Get to it, boys and girls.
All right. A few more minutes with Kevin Fichtner coming up on Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Glad you're with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Talking a little Auburn athletics, and we're going to talk a little golf right now. Again, Casey Weidenfeld from Auburn in for the final day Saturday at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Congratulations to her. We talked to her earlier in the show, and Kevin Fichtner is with us. Kevin, who's your pick next week, an early pick for the Masters?
As far as a pick, you know, I would love to see Mickelson. I know we probably won't do it, but he finished second last year. That's my guy, Lefty. You know, he came out of nowhere on Sunday and finished second. But, you know, this whole LIV and PGA, you know, honestly, I wouldn't mind to see Rory win. Rory, he needs the Masters to complete that Grand Slam, but he's never done well there. He's had a lot of, you know, we're leading into the third day or maybe even Sunday, then he hits hole 12 and goes in the water 3 times, you know. And Spieth won a couple times. There's always Tiger, but I'm more of an old generation guy. I like seeing the guys that are a little bit older make a run. You know, Scheffler, he has a good chance to win. You know, Rahm's a defending champion, but I like the older regime. You know, just make one little run like Jack did in 86, you know, or Tiger a few years ago when he won. I like to see those old guys come in and show these young guys they can still play at this course.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. I was there in 86 when – for a practice round when Jack won in 86. But
yes, sir.
All right, Vern.
Oh, by the way, this is Vern's last Masters too.
Yeah, how about that? That'll be something. A Masters without Vern Lundquist next year. Kind of like college football without Vern Lundquist, I guess.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about Will Zalatoris though? Next week.
Yeah, I mean he had injury last year. He's coming back. He's had some good finishes this year. Hasn't won.
Yeah.
I hear that name and see him, and I think of Happy Gilmore's caddy, you know, because he looks just like him. But yeah, he's got game. I mean, if his back is back healthy, he can make a run. A lot of these guys that, you know, I watched the Netflix show, and I had never seen or heard of a lot of these guys. It's Wyndham Clark guy who won the U.S. Open last year.
Yeah.
He has a mental coach, and ever since he's got that mental coach, he's done really well. He used to have anger issues. So a lot of these guys, we don't know what's going on behind them. You know, golf is a hard game. That's why a lot of us can't play it, you know, play it well. And it takes a lot of mental toll on you. But, you know, it's so fun to watch them when they do their thing, because it's you and I, it's very hard to do. So, and to watch them attack these holes and know where to put the ball when they're in a bad spot, or know where to put the, you know, based on a pin placement, it's unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of that, I was watching Mickelson on a tweet, I think, yesterday, or an X, whatever you call it. Did you see that about the left-handers?
Yeah, he's talking about left-handers, right-handers being in this bunker.
Yeah.
When they get it out, the ball rolls this way. Right-handers, it does a lot better. I mean, he knows everything. He knows where to do this, that, and the other for most courses, especially Augusta.
I thought that was very interesting. He was talking about the bunker on number 10.
Yes.
At Augusta, and a left-hander can't miss it there, because if you spin it out and put a cut spin on it, it just keeps going down the hill. But a right-hander can kind of spin it into the hill. So
yes, hearing him talk about that, and more golfers talk about that, it just shows you how locked in and focused they are, and know what they can and can't do.
They are amazing. Again, thanks to Casey Weidenfeld for joining us this evening. She's in for the weekend at Augusta National. Thanks to Coach Chuck Anderson, Kevin Fichtner from Auburn. As always, we're out of time. Don't forget to join us Saturday for the game right here. FM Talk 106.5, 1 o'clock for the pregame. We'll see you next time around, everybody. Until then, Doug Holton, War Eagle.